Arena, Chris Graham, Scott German, and we're here to talk about Virginia's 51-44 win over Clemson. And Virginia gets the win, improves to 7-4 in the ACC. And okay, so 7-4 in the ACC, a solid fourth right now in the conference. That's ugly. That was just another ugly basketball game, Scott. There's no other way to put it.
Well, if you can find a way describing that without using the word ugly, or maybe without using the word obscene, then you're a better linguist.
There's some good words there, yeah.
Would you say workmanlike?
Workmanlike, yeah. That was
maybe poor workmanship.
They got the job done.
They got the job done, yeah. And the only thing that's important is we had more points.
Virginia did score more points, as it turns out. 26-14 lead at halftime, which itself was ugly, but in that first half, a slow first half, and Virginia really strangled Clemson. A 14-2 lead early. You know, Virginia was 6 of 10 to start the game from the field. That means 11 for 36 to finish, as Virginia ended up shooting 17 of 46, 6 of 19 in the second half. But it was 26-14 at the half, and as ugly as that was, you had to feel pretty good. And then Virginia had 10 points in the first 15 minutes and 10 seconds of the second half before a Braxton Key three-pointer after Clemson came all the way back, trailed 36-34. Actually had a couple of three-point shots that rimmed out that would have given the Tigers the lead.
They had a couple of possessions where they could have taken the lead.
Yeah, so the credit to Clemson for clawing their way back into this. When they had Tigers clawing back in, hey, that's a Jim Gordon reference there, I'm sure. We love Jim. We miss Jim. And but then, you know, so as ugly as this was, as much of a trip to the dentist without Novocaine to, you know, kind of cite some Jay Billis as this was, Braxton Key comes up big. He hits a three with 4:50 to go to give Virginia a little bit of room. And then with 1:28 to go after Clemson, I got it back down to three. Another three from the top of the key. And Braxton with 19 in this game, 4 of 6 from three, 6 of 13 from the field overall. And, you know, the numbers, when you think of them out loud, you know, Mamadou Diakite, 13.8 rebounds, Jay Huff, 10 points, 10 rebounds. But outside of those three, Virginia shot 7 of 20 from three, but 4 of 6 of that was Braxton. P.A. Clark, just 1 point. Now, he did have 10 assists. That's a nice night. But really, outside of the big three, really no productivity. Walter Tensai had a three early. Cody Statman had 5 points. But really, just the big three tonight.
Well, we had a big three.
Yeah.
Not the big three.
Last year's big three.
Tonight we had a big three. And maybe that from going forward is the way we're gonna have to rotate a different player in that three. So it won't always be the same victory, but
those three are the guys that, I mean, they're your three leading, well, including Clark.
Now,
Clark
is, was part of that victory.
Clark was, and he should be. He needs to be more a part of that big three. He was 4 of 8 from the field. I'm not sure he shot the ball in the second half.
Yeah, 10 rebounds.
10 rebounds. He was 1 for 1 in the second half. So he's got to shoot the ball a little more for this Virginia team.
Moving forward, if you get three players that are contributing, and then, you know, the other two guys on the floor aren't liabilities, and you can win games then.
Yeah, I'm going to push this because I saw your light dimming there. That's exactly right. And really, you get those three, and actually Clark as your fourth. He only had the 1 point, but 10 assists, very important in this effort, obviously setting up his teammates. If you could just find someone else. Tonight, Statman gave you a couple of nice glimpses, literally, because he had two makes. But the three he shot with confidence. He drove the lane once. He was 2 for 4 from the floor. Walter Tensai, not bashful, but Walter Tensai only the 1 make out of 8 3-point attempts.
Defense, no, but there's games that we complain about him not shooting enough.
That's true.
So he did shoot. I mean,
and he
did shoot 8 times tonight.
A couple of shots that were off kilter, but for the most part, they were good shots. Nothing wrong, again, defensively for this Virginia team. 44 points for Clemson. You can't overlook that effort. Clemson shoots 32.7% from the floor, 6 of 28 from 3. So that's 28 of their 52 attempts were threes. Virginia will live with that any day of the week, twice on Sunday, as far as that goes. Amir Sims, 16 points. Scott was concerned that the local kid was going to shoot Clemson to a win. He was struggling the first half. Sims in the first half was just 2 of 8 from the floor and 5 points. He ends up going, I guess that would be 4 of 8 in the second half to get to 16. But I thought by and large Virginia did a good job defensively on Sims. He's the key to that team, and he got some rhythm late, but it was when they were already down double digits.
Yeah, and you know, if we want to pretty this up a little bit, we can, because Clemson had a couple of ugly losses, but this is the team that beat Duke.
And scored 79 in beating Duke.
Yeah. They were.
Sims had 25 in that game, 10 to 15 from the floor.
Right. Yeah. They beat Duke. So
they beat Carolina and Chapel Hill.
Which and maybe not saying much, but they beat Carolina and Chapel Hill,
which is
all you need to say, because they never beat Carolina.
First time in 60 tries, and there was the Carolina kids were still wearing the powder blue.
Yeah.
They're not Vince Carter, Antoine Jameson, you know, Hansborough caliber, but they're still Carolina. So, yes, this team has a couple of wins. They have a couple of ugly losses, but this is the ACC in 2020.
This is what the ACC is this year.
I mean, look at Duke last night. We're going on the road to Boston College, a team that's got a couple of nice wins. And in Boston College, in the last 2 minutes, had that game in their hands. So Virginia gets the win, 7-4 in the ACC now. It almost feels ridiculous to say that, no offense, the guys are trying their asses off. They're playing their asses off. They're just not, you know, they're not. It's Tony and staff are trying to figure out how to put them in the right places to get the most out of this team. But this is a 7-4 team in the ACC that would have been about 1-10 in the ACC last year. But that's the case for everybody in the ACC, really, I think, throughout the world of college basketball this year.
Right. And, you know, you watch Tony. I mean, we know Tony is always coaching on the sidelines. But this has got to be, at times, very trying for Tony. And at times, it's got to be the most fun he's had in a long time, because he's really having to coach 40 minutes. And if you think back last year, how many of our games last year were complete blowouts, annihilations? He doesn't have to coach. All he has to do is make sure he's getting enough playing time for everyone.
Yeah, the rotation was what he'd worry about a lot of those games last year.
He's having to coach this year.
And coach in a way that certainly he hasn't had to do for a while, because you think about it, his last two teams were both number one national seeds. The last one won a national championship, 66-6 record over that span. And this year, he's still figuring out. This team is now, again, 7-4 in the ACC, 15-6 overall, and he's still trying to figure out possession to possession, how to get points on the board, and having to move guys around, tweak the offense around, get the lineup right, to just try to get points on the board possession by possession. So, yeah, you're right. He's having to coach his butt off.
I think last year we, at one time late in the season, did some quick math, and percentage of time that we led in games over the season was well up over 95, maybe 96% of the time. You don't have to do a lot of coaching in that situation.
Yeah, when
it's
gets
more time management than anything.
Yeah, I remember the Wake game here last year. It was 25-3 about 6 minutes in. I mean, there were lots of games like that. And so, this is a different feel, certainly, for Tony and his staff. The last time we were here, last Tuesday, the win over Florida State felt like I felt better leaving JPJ that night than I will feel tonight. Because I felt like, now Virginia had 18 turnovers in that game and only 6 in this game. So there's a vast improvement. But I even felt, even with all the turnovers in last week's game, the offense seemed like it was finding its way. You know, there were lots of attacks of the basket, of the paint. This one, I don't know that I feel like this was a step forward. I feel like this was at least a step sideways. I mean, defensively, again, great effort. But offensively, this one felt like a kind of a step back.
Well, we haven't given any credit or any – we haven't talked about – they did have an 8-day layoff. So that may have been had a little effect on them.
But they came out with a 14-2 lead 5 minutes in.
But that doesn't explain coming out in such a big lead.
Sorry, I see.
But if you look back, we lost to a similar NC State team here.
Yeah.
We lost to a Syracuse team here. Tonight, this game was getting away from us. Clemson had two possessions to take the lead.
Definitely thought that.
We somehow or another fought them off and ended up winning the game by 7 points. So,
yeah, maybe
that's the positive we take from this.
Yeah, this team, the 7-4 in the ACC, had leads with 3+ to go in all 4 of those losses. And this one felt like it could have been another one like that. But they're, you know, Tony keeps talking. I'm sure he's talking right now as we're here on press row. I'm pointing down. It's where the media room is. I'm sure, Tony's continuing to talk about his message. The last few games is we got to learn how to win games. This was another one where they might have learned a little bit about. It wasn't pretty. We've made that very abundantly clear. Pretty or not, when you get to the end game, you get in the last 5 minutes, it doesn't matter if it's 91-87 or 41-37. It's a four-point game. You got to go out there. You got to get stops. You got to you got to create on offense.
You got to make baskets.
You got to make free throws to close the game out. And no matter what the pace is or whatever else, and Virginia did that tonight again. And they've done it now twice in a row here in JPJ. It gets tough. It gets a little tougher on Saturday. As much as I've talked about how it feels like to me the ACC and all of college basketball is lacking in great teams, Louisville, I'm not quite ready to anoint them a great team, but if there's anybody in the ACC, they're 10-1 in the ACC, and I'm not sure. Are they playing tonight?
They are not.
They're not playing tonight. They might be off this week or off midweek. If anybody's close to being a great team in the ACC right now, it's this Louisville team. I've talked about this Louisville team, you know, when in the preseason. They were a preseason favorite in the ACC mainly because they were intact from last year and everybody else had so much loss. And my criticism of that was, yeah, they're intact, and that team lost a lot of games last year. They lost a lot of – they had big leads against Virginia both times. They had a big lead against Duke. Couldn't finish games out. For a while this season, I felt like Louisville was underachieving. Lately, I'm feeling pretty good about that Louisville team. So, and we're going to the Yum Center. Well, we've had some success.
The Yum Center doesn't intimidate Virginia, but, you know, different player, different team this year.
Different team this year, different team, Louisville team. Well, actually, the same Louisville team, just a year older, a year better. Though that we could make the point that if they were to put a statue out in front of Yum Center, Scott, I'm stealing your line when I say this, it would be a Tony Bennett statue because some of the biggest wins in the history of that arena are Virginia wins.
Yeah, some of the most dramatic wins for sure.
The buzzer beating three that banked in from DeAndre Hunter down four with 9/10 of a second left would be one. Certainly the Diakite Kihei Clark play that led to the overtime win would be another. So
well, and you know, last year I happened to go was at the game, and you know that Louisville really dominated us in the first half.
Yeah, yeah.
And being on press row, we felt like that was the game we were going to lose.
Oh yeah.
I think the Cardinals had a 10-point lead.
10-point lead at half, and they had made and some absurd number of threes. Yeah.
That is a very electric arena to play in. Much bigger than JPJ, but still the fans are right on the floor, right on top of you. And that was a very hostile environment. And I didn't give the Cavaliers much chance to come from behind in that second half, but we did. And but you're right. Louisville's a year older. We've got a almost completely different cast. And certainly completely, maybe not different, all different players, but players that are assuming entirely different roles.
Yeah, so I guess what we're trying to set up here for you is to say don't expect a great performance. But then again, as much as I'm ready to anoint and close to being ready to anoint Louisville a great team, they've struggled at home in the last couple weeks. They had a under 500 Georgia Tech team, had two shots to win the game in the final seconds at the Yum Center. I believe that was a week and a half ago. And so, you know, if they keep us in the game, maybe we'll do something there. But a big challenge coming ahead for Virginia. Scott, last thoughts about this one. So I said I left here last week after the Florida State win. I felt pretty good. And then I'm saying tonight I'm not sure I'm leaving feeling as good. How are you leaving tonight?
I'm positive. Because, as I said.
Damn, that's a shock.
We lost, yeah.
Scott German, we got to write this. If Stephanie's listening, Stephanie, you got to write this down. Scott is positive.
Yeah, this might cost me something big this weekend, you know. I'm positive we can afford to do this. Or, you know, we played a similar Syracuse team here and lost a similar NC State team here and lost. This one didn't get away from us. We found a way to somehow win, and you build upon that. That's what I think Tony's going to be teaching.
Yeah.
Preaching.
Well, we'll go with that. And Scott German being positive is just like, that takes the weight of the world off my shoulders. That means – So are you, you can't be promising that on Saturday during the game, because we're not going to be in the Yum Center. That's an 8-hour drive.
I'm promising that we're going to be competitive in that game.
No, I'm that's fine. But as far as your text, the first one is about how bad we're playing and we're doomed to lose. What's the over-under on how many minutes are left in the game?
Five?
Oh, my God. I'm thinking I was going to give you 35.
No, I'm saying
I was giving you to the first TV timeout.
I'm seeing something positive.
Oh, my goodness. On the way home, we're going to stop and buy some lottery tickets. Scott's actually going to buy them. We'll share the winnings because we're going to win something. And in the meantime, thank you for joining us here on the podcast. For Scott German and Chris Graham signing off, we have a lot more coverage coming up here on Augusta Free Press. So check us out. Thanks. Have a great night.